Oh, where is he now?
We're in the world's Kelly.
We're in the world's Kelly. That's right. We're going to make a new game here.
Yeah.
We'll make that a new agenda item.
Where's Kelly living his best life this week?
Okay. Well, I guess we can get started.
Go
through whatever we got to go through. So, all right. There was nobody signed up to speak publicly. Did you want to? No, sir. Okay, thanks. All right, so no public comment today at the meeting. So did everybody read the meeting minutes? Well, let's go through the roll call. Sorry, that would be the proper thing to do. I'll let you start, Bill.
Bill Bierke, Parks Manager.
Jeremy Dune, Clark County's Parks Staff.
Dave Weston, Parks Advisory Board.
Tim Path, Parks Advisory Board.
Jay Chester, Parks Advisory Board.
Sarah Rhodes, Student Liaison.
Kelsey Potter, PAB.
Mackenzie Shaw, Student Liaison.
All right.
Laura Hilton,
can't have a meeting without Laura.
Nope.
All right. So let's do the meeting minutes and any revisions or any discussion.
I wasn't here last time, so just a couple of questions. When I looked over the agenda, so you passed something for parking increases. Can someone give me a quick update on what that was all about?
Okay, so the we talked about the possibility of parking increases to offset the general fund deficit that's looming.
Okay.
And so we may have to look at making cuts to general fund parks budget.
Okay.
And the possibility of increasing parking fees from $3 to $5 was discussed, and there was a motion made to support researching that.
Researching it, not committing to it.
And how do you set park fees? How do you determine whether, is there a prevailing rate? Do you do a comparability study?
We actually do a study. You know, we look at comparable jurisdictions, compare ourselves to Oregon and other jurisdictions in Washington, as well as state. But we try to compare ourselves to counties that have parks, and then and see if we're kind of in the ballpark as far as what we're charging to get in. And right now, I can assure you that we're cheaper than most right now. So we don't charge out-of-state fees either, like Oregon does.
Okay. Thanks. And what was the motion about the four letters to Philida Neighborhood Association? What's that all about?
That was to thank them for the gift baskets for the logo.
Okay.
So,
that's all I had.
Okay. Anybody else? Can I get a motion then?
I'll make a motion.
It's been moved.
A second.
Ms. Kelsey. All right, so it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Volunteer hours. Was that going to be a form that we were going to fill out every meeting, Laura? Or was that going to be a...
It's a monthly?
Yeah, so Dave actually had a conversation with our volunteer coordinator. And what she's been doing is just looking at the agendas or the meeting minutes to see who attended the meeting and then only recording the hours of the meeting time, but realizing that we're missing a lot of hours when you're doing other things, like the grant writing, like attending the All-PAP meeting or the Lewis and Clark Trail meetings. And so we wanted to capture that because that is has a monetary value of in-kind match for us for a variety of different things. And then there's also data that volunteer data that goes up to the state that she collects. So it's really important if we can collect hours from you. I do have a sheet that she gave me in Excel format, so you could just fill it out and I could send that to you electronically, and then you could just submit those that way. So
you want a monthly?
Monthly would be fantastic. Or on that page, it also says that she has a volunteer database that you can actually put it in there yourself. But you had said that you'd like to have this added to the agenda as a monthly reminder to place within your hours.
Mm-hmm. That's that park.org website or email address. That's the online
volunteer program website.
Yes.
Yep, parkhero.org.
So you'll have to, set up your little profile and
record
your hours that way. Or you can just do it on paper or the Excel spreadsheet that also can be tracked that way.
So we did this, then do we send it to you or to Dave, or what do we?
You can send it to me, and then I'll just forward it to her, or you can send it to her directly. Either way, whatever you.
Her email's down at the very bottom of the page. Yeah. Karen Llewellyn.
Yeah. So I mean.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
That would be fantastic if you could just send it to her.
Yeah, we'll just send it to her then. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, we had the all-PAB meeting last night. Then we had two section meetings for the Lewis and Trail a couple weeks ago. And so there's quite a few hours invested between the different members. So it's good.
Okay. Then that'll be a new option for us that we'll, as members of PAB, we update. How about the student volunteers?
Yep, we're all volunteers.
All volunteers. All right. Sorry, more homework, guys. You just thought you were getting out of it. All right, so we'll go from there. Unfinished business. Bill.
Me. Okay. HIP updates. So let's take a look at our sheet here. Green sheet. And so, once again, this month, as you can see through PIF 5 on the very bottom, the combined acquisitions, $149,000, or $149,600 came in for PIF 5, $173,180 for PIF 6, $20,088 for PIF 7, and $177,717 for PIF 8, $36,571 for PIF 9, and $48,035 for PIF 10. And I know that the in comparison to the other districts, PIF 10 doesn't look all that big, but to me, that is pretty substantial because that has been just a dog for years. And so I'm happy to see that the funds are really starting to pick up. And so as for the other accounts, they're just screaming. I'm just super pleased at what's coming in right now because of all the growth. So because of that, we're going to probably start looking at expediting construction of parks. So we got a lot of properties out there, and we can start taking a look at actually building some parks. So I'm really happy to see that.
Great.
Got it?
Good job. Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. That's good. All right. So the as Bill mentioned earlier, there was the all-PAB meeting last night at Washougal, and those of you that got there early, I think John might have done this. They had a little walk through Washougal and art. They have some, I guess they were showing off some of their art that they have in the city and everything. John, you want to give me anything on the update? Because I didn't go through the walkthrough, but I walk around.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit blustery, so we didn't get that far. stopped by a couple of the art installations as we went and talked about how public art actually fits very well into the Parks and Rec mission. And that's about it, really.
It's pretty cool. We've seen some pretty cool art walking down through the tunnel underneath Highway 14.
Oh, yeah.
We had the earth sculpture, and we had the hieroglyphics inside the tunnel underneath 14, and then there's about six dinosaurs up on top of the hill. Now we ran into John up on top of the hill there on the dike.
And was that the dinosaur you were I see, okay.
And then Laura and I walked through the town, and we found Seaman, the dog that was a Newfoundland that Lewis and Clark brought with them on the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Right.
Found that, and then we probably made it back to the meeting. So it was fun.
Okay. And the meeting, they explained what was going on in Washougal, and honestly, I didn't realize Washougal had as many parks as they do, and as big as they are there. But it was a very good meeting, and I think just about everybody was there. Battleground.
We were missing. Ridgefield. Battleground had a representative there.
No Ridgefield.
That was it. Yeah.
And we didn't see Town of Jacko. Or List Center.
Okay.
I didn't see them either. But the one thing that impressed me when Suzanne Grover gave her presentation, that how many parks that they had that were funded through Conservation Futures.
Mm-hmm. You noticed that? Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Heath this morning when we had our monthly meeting. I said, I didn't realize that we really help Conservation, or Washougal out with Conservation Futures projects, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. It says next steps here. I think, Barbara, one of the things that we've been doing is finding a host for the next quarter's meeting, and that did not happen last night. Did we have a discussion and I missed it?
A name came out that said that they might like to host us. Did you catch that, Laura?
Yeah, we were discussing that on the way back. I couldn't remember who she said. I was hoping she was going to be here today to tell us.
Okay, well maybe Barbara caught somebody.
Yeah, she did. She's kind
okay.
of bad.
Well, I thought she might have, so.
I think it might have been Camas.
Either Camas or Richfield, or not Richfield, but Battleground. Those would be the last two. Yeah.
Okay.
Barbara did say that she, it was like a soft confirmation that we do have our next one.
Good. Okay. Because I mean, yesterday's weather was bad, but I hate to have that die off there where we're not still rotating through. Because it's always good to hear different things going on and everybody updated, or everybody gave an update on their, the other projects. I think, you know, John Spencer and, Camas was the gentleman that you guys were talking with from Camas, right? Because they living in Camas, I know they, you know, closed the pool, and there was lots of consternation about that there.
And the geriatric
Everett
there.
So yeah,
and he's the parks director for Camas. He was there.
So
and then Molly Costin, she's the new mayor for Washougal. We
right?
had a chance to meet her last night.
Yeah,
that
was cool. Nice to meet her and see what's going on. So
you want to run for a while?
Talk a little bit now that I caught you with your mouth full.
What also impressed me last night is we actually had a quorum. We had four advisory board members there.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, we could have had our own meeting again. And John was trying to get us to meet, and I unfortunately had to go run off to another commitment. But
yeah, that's right. We did meet. Yeah, good meeting. Somewhat disappointed we did have more from Battleground, Ridgefield, but at the same time, when we met in Battleground or in Ridgefield, I remember not seeing a lot of people from Camas Washougal. So,
right,
it is a long drive. Definitely, the Conservation Futures thing hit me as well, and I kept thinking, "No, stop saying that. They might not do it next time." Oops. Lots of energy in Camas Washougal around the parks thing right now, which is exciting. And as Jay mentioned, we had a big meeting after the meeting about getting a community center / pool / conference center in Camas Washougal. And what's there to say about that other than there's this will be the third time we've tried it in about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of history, which both shows good and bad.
Yeah.
The good being that it keeps coming up. People want it. The bad being that the community leaders haven't stepped up to the plate in the right manner so far to make it happen. So we're trying to do that. A lot of community meetings to come.
So a couple of things I noticed from that conversation while we were there was the discussion of a Metropolitan Parks District levy was discussed, you know,
yeah.
And between Camas and Washougal, and there's a little bit of this and this going on. But then the second thing that I thought of was Battleground and Richfield are both going after. Yeah, Battleground and Richfield are both going after YMCAs.
Mm-hmm. As are we.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about as a YMCA?
As you are now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like
so
it.
I'm just wondering, would it be possible to do like a one-time levy for 1 year just to fund three YMCAs in Clark County?
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean.
So it'd have to be a county-wide levy.
County-wide levy to support, to support three YMCAs. And you think about it, we've got one here in Vancouver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd actually be blanketing the county. So, you know, wherever you go in the county, you're going to have one in proximity of your
And one big voter capital campaign rather than three smaller ones would be a lot easier.
Why not make it a countywide? Because you're actually serving the county through your cities. So.
That would be worth a tabletop with Bob. Actually, Bob Hall is the area director of YMCA. Mm-hmm. He might be an interesting one just to bring in here and have him give a presentation.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, obviously, you're going to have to figure out how to fund them thereafter, but so that might be something we're discussing further.
Right.
Might be a larger levy the first year than a reduced to.
Well, though, for a strict community center, the Y generally claims that they can self-sustain.
Okay.
The parts that need funding are when you add pools or ancillary facilities. So,
how does self-sustain a community center? User fees for renting the facility?
User that's fees self, and that's renting it cleanly.
Self-sustainable? There must be some pretty hefty fees for using the buildings.
Yeah, well, I think YMCA does a fair bit of ongoing fundraising as well, so there's probably some endowment they subsidize themselves to some extent, I suspect. I've never looked at their books. But.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting idea.
Okay,
that's a really interesting idea.
You want to update us on the Lewis and Clark Trail, Bill, and your information?
Sure. So, had two very successful meetings. The first one, second one, I guess, was the March 22nd at the Marshall Community Center. That was the Vancouver to Cascade Park segment. And the City of Vancouver folks, they brought their transportation folks in and they're Public Works Director who knew a lot about transportation and really got a lot of notes and a lot of the primary route we discussed, bridge crossings over 14, discussed alternate routes and connections into the city, all that kind of stuff. I was really impressed at how much information was gathered at that particular meeting, and we got done early too. I mean, we're an hour and a half, I think, is what we're there for, so we hit all of our goals. And so we wrapped it up. And then the next week, on the 29th, we're out at the Camas Community Center. And that was a well-attended meeting as well. And so we went from the Cascade Park region, if you will, 192nd Avenue, all the way down to Steigerwald. Got a little bit hung up on Camas is difficult to navigate because you can go the Highway 14 route, which means two highway bridge crossings, or go down through town. And then back down to 14 once you get past the slough of the bridges of the mill. And so did a pretty good job of getting that all figured out. And then so that one was actually a short meeting too. I think in less than 2 hours we wrapped that one up. And then Laura and I last week and this week met with Dan Miller and Brianna Truden from the National Park Service and actually took a look at all the maps and charted one more time, just so Brianna was really clear so she could do her mapping. And so we have one more meeting with them this next week, and Dan's bringing his supervisors coming in from San Francisco to meet with us. And we're gonna take one more look at the Vancouver to Richfield alignment, because we're still kind of tweaking that a little bit. Once that gets done, the mapping should be done by early summer, and then we have to decide on what our next step is, whether we're going to be doing a series of open houses or if we're going to do some other outreach campaign. We're going to be doing something substantial. I just don't know what it is yet. Dan kind of came back and says, let's rethink the open houses and make sure that this is the right task, because we might end up getting a lot of negativity from all the property owners that might be impacted. So he said there might be a different way to craft the net, if you will. And so I'm going to kind of leave it up to him to figure out which methodology he's going to choose. And so we'll go from there.
That'll be summertime.
And so so coincidentally, I got a call from Bob Kofstadt with the Department of Transportation, and he wants to set up a meeting up with me in the next week or two to discuss the right-of-way transfer of Highway 501. So, and then I talked to Heath Henderson about it, and our transportation division is all behind it, 100%. So I did tell Bob that there's a faction of Fish and Wildlife that wants us to get this highway as soon as possible so that they can continue on with their Shilapoo project, because it is affecting them. And then the other faction are the land managers for Fish and Wildlife up north of Vancouver Lake that allow hunting, you know, seasonal hunting. How's that? How's hunting going to coincide with the trail? So we got, I met with both different groups of Fish and Wildlife, you know, and we're trying to massage that. But basically, if we take over that right away, we pretty much can do whatever we want. But at the same time, I don't want to jam it down their throats that, hey, we're getting a trail. You know, so that's kind of where we stand. But we are going to move forward with taking that right away over. And so, and the, I want to balance that pretty carefully because I really don't want to take over full responsibility until the highway is actually breached. So they're going to take that, remove that big culvert, and the highway effectively ends. So it's no longer for transportation purposes. Until then, we're starting to get the drag racing, the illegal dumping, and all the shooting and all that stuff that goes on at the end of Little River Road. So I don't want to be responsible for that until we have to be. So
makes sense.
Also, Mike, have you thought about contacting the state about some cleanup of their own highway before it's transferred?
Yeah.
Seriously, might be worth.
It's one of those. It's like. Yeah, it's something that nobody really wants to address, and so the state, they rely on the city and the county to help go down there and clean up, do clues. They have a youth ecology cleanup crew that goes down there once in a while and picks up all the garbage and bags it when they take it away. But in between that, we have our RF under crews that go down and actually do that too.
That area gets cleaned a lot.
It gets
just
cleaned up.
It gets dumped a lot.
It does. It's almost daily. Yeah,
there's a lot of cleanup down there.
There's just no eyes down there. So if we can effectively end the highway in front of the park, I think we're going to solve a lot of problems. So.
I wanted to jump in on the trail charrette meetings thing. A really interesting offshoot of that, which I'm just excited about, was at the Camas charrette, we talked on the side about how cool it would be to get a bridge over Highway 14 from the new levee alignment into into Eastern Washougal. And I had a conversation with Chris Collins, the estuary project manager who's doing that, and he said, nah, please don't, at least not right now, which I totally understand, because he's got enough issues with getting that project off the ground. But then he said, but did you know, John, that Chris Lapp, the wildlife manager, actually was talking about a roundabout just to the west at 45th Street, and it fell off the table, but opportunity to bring it back and get an extra alignment, trail alignment coming through, which it's just
interesting.
It's great how you get a big group together talking trails, mm-hmm. and extra comes out of that.
Absolutely. That's the whole purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, you get all these great minds together and we come out with some solutions, which is fantastic. Great ideas, good solutions.
It's always fun.
I've been really impressed how the bicycle community has been so supportive and so knowledgeable about mm-hmm. routes and routines around the place. I don't know how much of an organized contingent they are once you go for, you know, for funding.
There's a huge
support mechanism.
Yeah. I think if we reach out campaign or outreach campaign, I guess, I think we're going to be bringing those folks to the table and they're going to get pretty loud, pretty front and center.
Yeah, it looks like they're doing really well.
Yeah.
The original group from Oregon is also interested. They just haven't been able to come to any of the meetings, but they're very supportive as well.
Great. Cool. Okay. All right. Move on to the logo update. Not sure about next steps. The letters went out. I understand correctly.
The thank you letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that like right after.
I'm assuming those are the letters she's referencing here.
Yeah.
Don't know what next steps Barbara had in mind at the time.
Well, there was talk about
tweaking it, maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we wanted any of that to happen, so that the student had an opportunity to work with a professional and have, you know, that
right
experience. And
right.
You know what actually happened. Okay. World.
Did we want to tweak the?
Trippy and Kelsey is a copy of it. So
I had the comment in our last or in the meeting before last when we voted on it about continuity with the Clark County, Washington,
right
to the Parks Advisory Board. And
to take the, are you talking about the font and the lettering here and moving around and
yeah.
making it the same size roughly?
Right, and kind of circle kind of the same type of a thing, the half moon look to it rather than the complete circle, just for continuity and connection purposes.
Did they update the logo? Is there still, are we still using the multicolored one? Or I've been seeing one that's all one color.
Oh, there's two. Around. There's two. Per policy, we have two. One's like that. Okay. One is black and white.
Okay. So, black and white. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the county logo. That is.
Okay. Does anybody else have strong feelings either way, or?
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, then I'll touch base with Barbara and see how she wants to move forward with this, and we'll talk about the tweaks and we'll get that squared away. And then the intellectual property, do we issue a contract, or is there a, we're trying to get the student to sign off?
The student just has to sign off on the fact that we can use it, you know? And we can, I'm trying to remember what Amanda said last time.
We own it. We can do whatever we want with it.
Okay, good answer.
Yeah, that is what she said, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I think it's a great idea to allow the students to go back and tweak it. It's kind of like what happens in real life and real business. So, okay. All right, we'll go forward with that. The Facebook page. Any updates?
Not really. I need more ideas for posts. I mean, we have a... I don't have a ton of stuff. Hey, I've been sick, I feel, for 8 weeks, so I haven't...
Oh, no.
I could get out, and then I'm like, ugh. So if you, you know, see something cool in a park, please send me a photo of it so I can make a Facebook post.
We'll get like, the fishing derby going on today and
I
tomorrow.
Saw that. I drove by it this morning, and I was like, oh, but...
Oh, that's right, the park, yeah. Yeah, I saw that in the paper the other day, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, if you happen to be at an event or see something cute going on in a park or an animal doing something magical in a Clark County park, please send me an email so I can make a post about it.
You want things that incite rage, like vandalism also?
Yes, so I can shame the public on the Facebook post.
There you
well.
Go. Okay.
Got lots of that. Yeah, I posted the meeting today, and like 10 people liked that, which seemed like a lot, and like 80 people saw it, but no one is here. That's not always here, so...
Well, maybe eventually.
Maybe eventually.
Yeah. Kid fishing event's coming up, right?
And we also meet at...
Today and tomorrow.
Oh, it is today.
Which
okay.
is part of the yeah. community right. liaisons for right. the media later. So, anyways, yeah, nothing much, so keep me with ideas. I saw two eagles flying over Vancouver Lake Park when I drove here, but I couldn't stop and take a photo while driving. So,
yeah, you know, if we're thinking about it. So Jeremy's been working on the Wayne Berry House, 149th Street, and the house is down and the utilities are taken out.
Yeah.
And maybe we should take a picture of, here's your new green space.
Yeah, please, kind of just stuff like that. So okay. I can kind of, you know, it's hard finding our niche because I like Clark County Public Works on Facebook and they post a bunch of park stuff on their own. So I don't. We need to find what our niche is because I don't want to copy what they're doing. The Parks Foundation also has their sort of niche. Right. And so we've kind of got to carve out, like, you know, what is our niche on social media. Okay. So, like new properties that we've approved, you know, voted to approve to purchase, that sort of thing. Photos. I definitely need photos, though. So.
Okay. Cool.
Heritage Farm will have their master gardeners.
Yeah.
That link, you can use that link and probably get a snapshot of their flyer.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. I saw that on the back. So.
So we're searching for content.
Mm-hmm.
Get in our Facebook. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sarah McKenzie, you got any updates?
I committed to Hawaii Pacific University, so I'll be going there in the fall.
Yay!
Congratulations.
So, that'll be fun, so I'm excited about that.
That's cool.
Nothing too exciting.
I got accepted into UC Berkeley, so
wow.
I'm
that's
looking
awesome.
Into
wow.
doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Guys can seem excited about it.
Have to go to college like, oh, no, in a warm, sunny place. Yeah. Well, I guess Berkeley's not
So when do you start fall? Like September? August, September?
I think mid-August for
mid-August.
Me.
Oh,
well.
How about
me
you?
As well, yeah. Mid-August.
Sarah,
yeah.
Where did you say you're going?
Hawaii Pacific University. So it's a private university on Oahu. So I'll be in their honors program there. So it's about 100 students, part of the honors program. And so it's a residential program. So I'll live there and then be a part of that, as well as their nursing program. So I'll be kind of all over the place there. So,
cool. So next time we see you, won't recognize you because instead of being white and pale, you'll be all brown and suntan,
deep
hair,
and
all.
Well, luckily you'll both be coming back.
Yeah, that's right. The whole casual thing.
That's right. That's right.
So that brings up the question: What is our recruiting plan?
They're going to come back each month.
We're going to Skype them in, like, from where they are in the world.
That's a good question.
It is, yeah. So
we need to work on recruiting.
Start thinking about that.
I think it's going to be hard to recruit to, like, at the beginning of the school year when there's already so much going on for new students. So we either need to start right now before the end of school, or we need to push it off and have a vacancy for a couple months and get someone going in January.
Actually, didn't we say early on that it's their responsibility to find
their replacement? That's right.
Well, there you go. Succession plan.
On any committee, you,
well,
it's your job.
Well, Sarah has a sister who's also my babysitter. So.
Oh, perfect. All right, so that one's done. What do you have?
Mackenzie's the younger brother, so he's out of luck.
Do you have siblings that?
Not yet.
Your mom's
part of the
like,
committee
not
is you have to babysit for the other.
Yeah, you have to babysit for the board members. Yeah. That's part of the requirement.
All right. Well, congratulations to both of you.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's great
both of you.
News.
So, thank you for your time.
Yeah, really, guys.
Who's the youth services director woman in Brooklyn?
Mackenzie, what's her name for the youth commission?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, that's right.
I can make a call over there.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a good way to go.
What's her last name, do you know?
Hill.
Well, thank you.
You think there might be some other youth commissioners that would be interested in...
Yeah.
Being a part of this?
I'm pretty sure there will be.
Okay. Do you have another meeting with them coming up?
We have a retreat today, so...
Today?
Yeah, after...
Finally? Wow.
I'm leaving around 2 o'clock, but I could bring it up, possibly.
You know what? That would be a wonderful idea.
That would be perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
And you guys will speak positively about the experience, right? So, yeah.
Just let them know that it's because you're on PAB that you got into Berkeley.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right.
You need to go to Hawaii.
I mean, you know, either way. I'm telling you, this is a great springboard for you.
And I like how both of them, when we were like, do you want us to write them a letter? And they were like, no. That was really not us at all. But
that's pretty good. All right. John, you want to update us on your Freight Rail Dependent Use Advisory Committee?
Yeah.
And so, just so everybody understands, John's on the committee. We need to give him guidance because we're pursuing the Chulachi Trail information. So, and we'll talk about that in a minute with the letters and statement of support. So, John, I'll let you go ahead and go with your dilemmas and
yeah, first, I want to officially blast you all.
Wait, John, wait, before you say that, I made you this. And I got you this cupcake. Oh, right. That's a thank you, because I know it's bad when the pass goes down to him. So you're appreciated. I thought of you.
I love that wording there, conducting yourself.
That is awesome.
Sorry about the cupcake. I just got it. It just tipped over.
Oh, my God. Nicely done.
Thank you. So I know it's been probably a real pain, so I want to recognize you.
That's
for
awesome.
That.
Oh, wow. All right, so.
That's good.
So this committee.
totally worth it now that you have
that
you were railroaded to be on. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So,
so many times.
So I should have foreseen this coming because when I remember several months ago seeing a Columbia News article and hearing background noise about it, but I hadn't really paid attention outside of, oh, there's this railroad thing. Uh-huh. When I showed up to the first meeting, there were 40-ish people in attendance. There's 11 people on the committee, and every single one has their own fully entrenched position. The Friends of is it Friends of Clark County or all but came out and said we're going to sue you no matter what happens with our decision making. So it's not the easiest of tasks. The main goal is so, and with thank you, we've got the crosshatch area here. So the whole idea, just to keep everybody up, it's the whole committee is on this crosshatch area, and what happened is the county took over the railroad many moons ago. They hired or contracted with a manager a few moons less ago who has since looked at this and said, well, you've got me managing this railroad for you. It sure would make sense if there were land for the trains to go to have industry, because there really isn't. There's a couple of spots way up in La Center or something like that. Other than that, it's a railroad going nowhere. So they went to the state and asked for a new law that says, even though this is rural county and Growth Management Act would normally say that this is designated agricultural resource land, because it's right beside a railroad, we will allow you to develop it as industrial land. So that's what happened and why they formed this committee, is now they've got this law that allows them to develop something. And they've, all along, they've been looking at these parcels, primarily it's actually these two parcels, the blue areas, which is a farm, that the law was actually written around these parcels. The state legislator had this map in their hands when they wrote the law. So they've been handed this gift with this land, and now they need to say, okay, what does it mean? What are our land use regulations that are going to apply to it? So that's why the committee is there, is to write land use regulations. As a side note, I will just point out that the county already has railroad use zoning regulations in place, but apparently those aren't good enough. We have to redo the create that wheel. What have you guys done?
It'll all be over in July.
No, it won't.
Oh, sorry.
I looked at, yeah, I will be on this one for a while.
You might have tested you.
So, all of that is background to say we're developing land use regulations for this area, and in my initial conversations with people, the idea of keeping a trail through here is welcomed.
Is what?
Welcomed. Huh. The problem is to comply with the idea of railroad dependent use, you need railroad spurs going all over the place to reach the businesses so the trains can pull up and be loaded or unloaded. So if you've got a spur coming through here like this and a trail going through like this, you've got a bit of a conflict. There's two ways that I'm aware of to deal with that conflict. The one is simply to accept it. You build the trail first, or build it along with the spurs and put in crossings. And by the way, the train apparently doesn't go over 10 miles an hour along the whole length. So yes, it's a conflict, but it's not an extreme hazard the way it is on the main line. The other thought, and the thought that the railroad manager asked me to promote, and this is my question to you, is for this, from here to here, you can obviously just put it on the east side of the railroad and you have no conflict. For this section, what do we think of not following the railroad, but instead following, I believe this is 119.
Anyway, coming along this road and going up there.
Up to 503.
And just going around that section. So that's the big advice I need is
Fruit Valley's a road. You know, you have sidewalks and you have spurs going into properties. And sidewalks go right over the spurs.
Could you enlighten a little bit more?
I know that this orientation is up at the bazaar. You can see north is pointing this way, so this should actually be. Here's 149th Street. Our main gate is right here, so we're talking about this piece. So, the piece that you're talking about, John, in the blue, right here, this is the primary alignment in red. And so we have a big regional park property right here. So we're actually right here to the south of where the blue starts, right in here. The trail's gonna actually turn left, or turn west, north, and then right up 149th Street, and then back out to 503.
Oh, so we're already
there. That old blue area with all the spurs.
We're already there.
We're already there.
Oh, well, that makes that easy.
Hopefully it takes a little bit of pressure off you.
That does. That will make everybody involved quite happy.
Yeah, so
you need to take this one.
Slashy Trail books that we handed up to you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's in here.
That is in there. Okay.
Yeah. That's, section four. I think there's 16 or something like that. Yeah. This is section four of that book. Do you have a copy of that?
I do.
What kind of bugs me is
obviously I haven't looked through it.
Well, no, that's fine. Yeah.
This was sent electronically this morning, so you have this exact copy. If you want to send that to
your team. Perfect.
Yeah. It's strange because
somebody already gone that way.
Yeah. Yes.
The main trail.
Because that was farmland originally when they planned this. I don't think they wanted to go across the farmland. So they decided to, the park is a destination along the trail. I think that's another reason. Which, right there, that tip of that park is an off-leash area.
It goes back and crosses the railroad.
Which one?
So it kind of goes up.
Where is it?
149th Street, what's it called?
Is it when a dog
being referred to? Off-leash area.
So it's just not.
Well, it's the name of a dog. Cane or something like that. Came off leash area, but this is.
Well, that was well thought.
The off leash area is actually right here. So hopefully that helps you on your next discussion.
That makes that discussion very.
But you know the one thing. When's your next meeting coming up?
Next week sometime.
Perfect. Would it be possible to get a support letter from that group for our segment that we're going after a grant on this year?
Ooh, well worth asking.
That would be between Battleground and Cedars Golf Course on that railway. And that is going to follow the rail up until we get to rest. Actually.
Well, no, it goes all the way.
It follows the rail until we get to, it follows the rail basically all the way up.
All the way up through Maine.
Yeah. So 2 miles of trail. It'll be on the east side. And that's going to be in conjunction with the reconstruction of Bridge 12, the Trestle Bridge.
Yeah.
Yes. The job.
A letter of recommendation, but a letter of support would be fantastic to send along with a grant.
This is actually
really good. So give them the good news and then lead right into that. So.
Well, I'm certain I could at least get it from the reserve manager.
Cool.
The committee itself, the dysfunctional north, I'm not quite certain of.
Okay.
But I can ask.
So okay. Thank you. That'd be awesome.
That was a long discussion for a relatively easy issue. Boy, I have
to be off check.
Thanks for stepping up. So
this is the band.
Okay, so did
this
we.
Awesome. This makes sense.
No, it's wild, man. I don't see that's what I have.
That's cool, isn't it?
So we've got your. Mr. Conductor, we have you a solution now. Okay. All right. Leading into, and Bill just alluded to it, the letter and statement of support for the Chulachi Railroad. It's in your packet. I haven't looked at the packet, so I apologize. Yeah, there's a. If you go through your packet, you'll see this concept page for the Chulachi Railroad. And then right behind that, you'll see a proposed letter of support. So what we're trying to do, just bring everybody up to speed, is we've got about a 2-mile segment going from Main Street and Battleground along the Chalachi Railroad right away down to Cedars Golf Course, essentially. You can see up here on the map, unfortunately, you don't have the rail line well defined, but if you look closely, you can see the Cedars Golf Course in the kind of the mid bottom. Just to the right of that is where the rail line will go up, and it goes up. That's the pin point is Eaton and Chalachi crossing. The railroad and the trail will go up a little farther. This was my first attempt at trying to identify the actual trail, and it will go up farther to Rasmussen. Now, from Main Street to the Cedars Golf Course is 2 miles. The city of Battleground is developing the piece from Main Street down to Rasmussen. They are using transportation funds. They are hoping to break ground, I guess, the end of this summer.
Hopefully this summer, if not, 19 for sure.
19 for sure. So that's in progress. The wheels are moving forward on that. What we want to do and what we're trying to do is go after an NRC grant that'll allow us planning and development from Rasmussen south to Cedars Golf Course. And then if you see just about where the hand is, that's the Salmon Morgan Creek natural area. And in that area, just to the left of the hand, is where they call Bridge 12 Crossing. That's got state legislature funds of $2.5 million to be renovated with a pedestrian element or side trail on it. So our grant, the request of our grant is for $500,000, and it is to do the planning and development of the trail along with a trailhead, and it may be almost right where that hand is showing, where we'll develop parking, restroom facilities, hopefully concession. I don't know what else we put in there, and we do have an example of that someplace. Bill, you mentioned another.
Yeah, we're probably going to put a parking lot in that looks very comparable to the new Philida overflow parking lot that we're putting in.
Okay.
That is about 30 stalls, probably. Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah.
With a restroom.
Yeah. So our goal is, with these letters, is to go out to different groups and get letters of support. One of the evaluation factors is letter of support for our effort. And as you know, John, we say in the railroad group that you're now a member of, if you could talk to them a little bit and see if they would be in support of that would be great. Obviously PAB will write our letter or sign off on the letter. I've talked to Diana Kretzmeyer Parks Foundation. She's going to go to her board and try to get a letter of support. She's willing to put this on her special projects list when she goes out fundraising, going out to talk. She will also go talk to some or use it as one of the parts that she will talk to health groups for, because this is again a trail. It's a 10-foot wide, 2-foot shoulder on either side trail, multi-purpose, all purpose, if you will, for lack of better terminology. In the letter, we've written a little bit about how we're going to add trail use maps and symbols and markers and try to make it just all accessible as best we can from there. And then the really good part is if we have the trailhead in the Salmon Morgan Creek area, then you know there's a place to start. Obviously, it connects Battleground to, you know, as far down as the Cedars, if you will. So it's really a great opportunity to develop this segment of the overall 33-mile Chalachi Trail. So, and that the letter's in here. And honestly, we tried to write as much as we could, and Laura was great with this. We can part down. I think, you know, Kevin, you and I had a discussion about maybe a one-pager. We can maybe develop a little bit of a graphic. Diana asked me about a graphic. Do we have a kind of a picture showing what's going on? One of the neat things is Laura set up this concept page, and you can see there's links here to information behind this. And so I'm curious and interested to see how we can weave this all together. So the purpose today is I want to get the board's support on developing a letter that Kelsey and I will sign as co-chairs, but then I also want to get your input on the letter, on the information. How do we want to, you know, put it together? We're meeting every other Monday so far with the City of Battleground representatives and others trying to develop the application, which goes in the 17th of May. Is that correct?
No, May 1st.
May 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn, I cut myself off 17 days. That's not good.
It's coming up really fast, I know.
We'll get it done. And then on the 21st, 22nd, or 23rd, we go up to Olympia and get evaluated. They, just so you understand the process, they take all these applications in, they evaluate them, give you some pointers and some tweaks and everything with that, and then you take those back. We work on it and resubmit it in August.
About August.
Yeah,
the technical, what do you call it, technical aspect of it. So where we have to go up on the 22nd, 23rd, whatever, we have to actually give them a PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
It's limited to, I believe, 15 minutes, so we have to keep it within that time frame. And then I always like to keep it at about 10 minutes, so that, that provides them about 5 minutes.
Five minutes of questions.
Because they are very punctual about that 15 minutes. As soon as that 15 minutes is up, there's actually a timer. As soon as that gets off, you get up, you leave, and the next people sit down,
yep,
and they say, start. That's how it works. And then so with this one, what's nice is they will provide us feedback. You know, here's your weaknesses. Can you go get this information, bring this back to us, and upload, and then we'll see you in August. And that one is you give the same presentation that's been modified or improved, and then after that, you leave, and then you wait.
Wait.
Yeah.
And we went in with this one once before, 2 years ago, I guess?
Yes. It was a different segment.
Cycle, different cycle, yeah. And they gave us some input, so we're tightening that up. So anyway, that's one of the things we're doing with the Chulachi Trail. So I wanted to get everybody's input. Also, I see that Laura included the Salmon Morgan Creek's natural area in there. If you take 152nd Street, which is right by the Chulachi Railroad southwest corner, go up a little ways, and that's where we put the trailhead, is a little ways into the natural area, not just right at the corner of 152nd Chulachi.
You know what? Maybe we should take this map and modify it to reflect the actual parking trailhead.
We had that on that one big 11x17 had, so it wouldn't be bad to do that with this and add this as kind of a backup to it.
I know Jane Kleiner created this map, so maybe we can have her modify it. That would be cool.
And you can see on the back of it also some more blurbs about it. So
it's
anyway,
stunningly beautiful. I mean, this is what it looks like inside there. It's just, it's gorgeous when you get in there. It's really cool.
Yeah, this will be, as somebody said, what was the can we get creek views? You know, Liz Creek views as an asset or a, you know, benefit to this, and it's like, yeah, we could, I guess. I don't know that those are real point getters, but we've also been working with Malata and several other people to identify the points, because this is, you know, the key to this game is to get as many points in as you can using the information. So a lot of interesting information this is working on. So
are points given for letters of support?
I don't know that there's an official points. I do know that the committee does look to see what letters of support you have. I don't think they read each one, but I think, you know, we were thinking if we get enough to put a kind of a table of contents, a list of who's there, put those obviously behind that. But the key is to see that there are letters of support.
Right.
And we thought
evidence that you have community support as well as support of other people who might be invested.
Right. And then we've got a neighbor that, landowner that wanted to, he reached out to Bill.
Yeah, inside the subdivision. He approached us back in 14, 15 and was highly interested in this trail segment that we're working on right now. And so we reached out to him and he's still there and very, very much willing to support this and actually do fundraising from private funding.
The golf course.
And he's also a project
golf
manager.
Golf course is behind it too. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's a project manager by trade, retired, and so he would like to also assist in helping us to develop this.
Not a problem. So that's the letter and statement update. I guess I need a motion from the board, if you would, to support in support of this, so that we can generate the letter and
so moved.
Do that. All right. So it's moved and. Seconded.
That's fine. Go ahead.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right.
Just a thought on the letters.
I yes.
Where you voted. I participated when I was with the Corps on the FLTP and their FLAP program review. We represented the Corps on those. And we had volumes and volumes and volumes of these things. And it got to be a point where we would, you know, whittle them down. Then we'd finally go to site visits and take a look at what we're going to do and then make the decision. Letters of support are wonderful because, like you said, Laura, they you get some recognition of who in the community supports. Oh, the state, oh, the Corps approves this. Oh, the county approves this. That's good to know. But they're not really read. They're just looked at. Who signed it? What? They read maybe the first paragraph or something. So. I think the package of information that perhaps you're thinking about sending to interested people are wonderful for the letter, but if you keep it short and sweet and to the point, I think it'd be a lot more effective than giving them more to read. Because if it's shorter, there's more of a tendency for them to read it than for them to read the volumes of information they already have.
Right.
Now, you're talking about the evaluators.
Right.
Yeah, so, and that was one of the things I got a little bit of discussion with Diana about the foundation about do we send, you know, the copy of the letter and the concept page to who we want to get the support, the signature from, or the group we want signature from, because that was, you know, you want to inform them, and I'm more willing to go talk to anybody that wants to have the conversation. And told that to Diane, and so that's where I'm kind of struggling a little bit. Is I want to make sure we get enough information to whoever's interested in signing the letter, and you're right, the letter needs to be short and sweet, and, you know, yay, we love this project.
And, go forth and do good things.
Yes.
I think the concept that letter gives a lot of good background information to it. The maps, I think if you had some more clarity as to where they were at, and perhaps maybe what's going on either side of this so they know the future of where it's going on, you'll get probably a lot of this feedback when you go to the good feedback.
Right.
I think the package you put together is great as it is. Suggest them that it only be one letter, and maybe even I took the liberty of editing that down.
No, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Just to try to hit the bullet points. So that would be my recommendation. If that's what you think
we're
doing, Jay.
That's what we're looking for is recommendations, and I don't have, and there is no pride of authorship here. I want information. To me, heads put together produces a better product. So.
Couple of points of mention. One is that we have the staff report going to the counselors on May 8th for the to have them support the resolution. That is a requirement of this grant. That means that the counselors will politically support the project, and they will also financially support the match, the grant match. And so that's going in front on the 8th, as well as the Curtain Creek grant we're going after. And so. And then also meeting with Heath Henderson this morning, my boss, he mentioned that City of Battleground is going after a TRAP grant.
What's a TRAP?
Transportation something grant. Flap, TRAP, TAP. And they're all acronyms that I, but anyways, so that the TRAP grant that they're going to go after is going to finance the rest of the bridge reconstruction. So the $2.5 million. Is almost what's needed, but they need 2.9, so they're going to go up to $400,000, and so we might might hear about being successful before we reach out. I think that's it. Is there something else? No, I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, and we will keep moving forward, and I'll keep updating everybody as we go.
Yeah, thank you for all your work. Also, really appreciate it. Thank you, Laura, for your help.
Yes, thank you, Laura, for generating those two pieces of information. Okay, new business. Kelsey.
So Jay and I served on the Parks Foundation Grant Committee, and Diana sent us an email the night before saying, bring your electronic devices because I'm not printing off any paperwork for you except scoring sheets. And at first I was like, what? And then I thought about it and I was like, whenever I get those things, I look at them, but I'm also looking at them on my Kindle or my computer when I'm actually doing some follow-up with something, and I throw all of this in the recycling bin when I get home. I used to have like a fancy filing system for them, but really what's fastest is I file them on my computer and then access all the documents on my computer. So Jay and I were talking that if people want to opt out of having, you can keep getting paper packets at each meeting, but in order to maybe save Laura some time from printing all these things that some people might just be recycling when you get home, if you want to opt out of getting paper packets at the meetings, it saves her work, it saves the county money, saves the environment, and they'll still have all the documents on the projector for us. We'll have access to them in our emails. So again, no pressure. If you like having the paper documents, keep on keeping on. But if you feel like you're me and you're throwing a lot of stuff in the recycling, feel free to opt out. And they'll always have the agenda printed off for us for notes or just to kind of keep track of where we're at with things. So it's just like a small housekeeping thing. But something we talked about, I mean, Laura does so many copying and printing, and I just feel bad, like, throwing her work in the garbage when we get home. So, anyways, that's it on that.
Thank you for that, because it's, like you say, bring my tablet, and it does save everything else.
And if you, you know, usually when you go back and you're trying to, oh, what did I do there? You go back and look in your documents that you
see. So. And a lot of the stuff's on the screen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just, it seemed like an idea. And we're not promoting, you know, John, you have the computer up because Dave, you're taking notes, and John's got his tablet. I'm used to an environment when I was working in the high-tech industry, you know, everybody had their computer up. And it was literally told, if you were not working, not speaking, or not involved in the conversation, you can work on your email. So you would lose people, right? Yeah. Left and right, all the time. But we've got the luxury of having our overhead projector and up there, and I think that's, you know, well worth it. So my thought is, you know, bring whatever electronic device you're comfortable with, looking at, using, if you want to, but also understand that we're up, you know, we've got it up front. A lot of our, you know, I know we look at a lot of maps and a lot of different stuff, but I'm like Kelsey. Afterwards, I'll go back to my computer and look at, you know, documents on there. I don't usually go, and I'm a very tactile guy. I like touching stuff. You know, I still read hardback books, you know, things like that. But I think this is a great approach and a great idea to move forward to. So anyway, and we passed out the ballots, so we'll collect those at the end of the meeting, and we'll see how everybody, the majority of everybody wants to go. Or if you want to pass them down now, you can do that too.
Well, and I think too, we'll just have, instead of like a vote on it, it'll just be individualized.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's,
well,
not
none of us put our, did we put our name? We're supposed to put our name on it?
Yeah, I need to know. Well, I guess I'll just, no number. That's
John, Jay. Oh, yeah, I guess you just need number. It was Jay who didn't put his name on it.
So I didn't put it.
So it's a substitute teacher.
I'm the only one, so that's it.
And I'll still have to print some for public.
For, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No. That's fine. We understand that. We're just trying to minimize, you know, can't eliminate, but you sure minimize that. So, all right, moving on to the new business. We've got the Parks Code Review, Bill.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we have that in our packet. We can do this online or up on the screen, or so thing that we did this morning, just kind of took a precursory look at the code as it stands right now, and just kind of made edits to the really obvious stuff. So we are no longer affiliated with Vancouver Clark Parks, so that was altered. I am not a parks director, I'm a parks manager, so we changed that up.
I think we should work on that.
And then the Clark County Commissioners are now the Clark County Councilors, so that was another change. And then the one change that's noteworthy is we added aircraft in next to airplane. So that was the whole premise of why we're looking at code in the first place, is to try to get a little bit better handle on the drones that are in our parks now. And so drones are not considered airplanes, but they are aircraft. And so we can either try to remove airplanes and just go with aircraft, which covers everything, or we can just add it. So
one of the other aspects of this was that Kelsey and I were again talking, and somebody referenced, I think we were talking about the drone and aircraft and the park code needs to change. And I thought, gosh, I haven't really gone through the whole park code. I wonder if that's something I should do. So that was another reason we prompted to review the park code. I encourage everybody to kind of take a minute when you get some time and read through the park codes and everything, because I mean, we're all involved in parks and everything, but then sometimes there's, you know, discussions and rules. And the one that caught me the other day was, because I'm heavily involved in the Harmony Sports Complex, and we say no dogs, but you are allowed service dogs. But now that terminology, I don't know if anybody's heard,
you know, turkeys.
Has you know, turkeys and you know, peacocks and, you know, service animals now. And then again, you know, what is a service animal? I'm used to the, if you're blind or have another disability, I know several of my friends have kids that are autistic and they have dogs with them that are soothing to them. But somebody that wants their pet cat or their peacock or something along with them, or their chicken or whatever the case may be, I don't know. But anyway, that we got caught in that at Harmony the other day because somebody said, well, they had a dog and it was obviously, they were fully, you know, functional people. I mean, you know, I was having a conversation with them. They said, well, this is our service dog. And I said, our service dog for what? What service? Well, it calms me down. And, you know, fine, okay, I'm just not going to. All we asked was to make sure they stayed out of the fence area where the kids were playing, because dog hits with a ball. So anyway, that was another reason we thought to look through the park rules, just to refresh our memories and experience with it. So
Eric is here with us today, and he's the one that actually did the modifications for me this morning. So thank you, Eric. And then also he brought up a really good point. And that is, if we're making some small cursory changes to the code, we could probably do that without serious legislative action. But if we are changing language and the fundamental meaning of what the park code is about, it's probably going to require some pretty substantial oversight through our counselors and our attorneys. So
would that include the drone part?
I don't think so. I think all we're doing is changing airplane to aircraft.
Okay.
You know, and that really handles it. So, I mean, that is a slight change, but there again, you know, a comma or a period can change the meaning of a sentence.
So if I said I wanted to change that you can't smoke in a park at all, that's not the change, right? So Phil's like, don't go there.
Where is it? I'm missing. Is it in here? The part on aircraft?
Right here. It's under.
What section?
180.
905.
Which?
05, 180.
Personal conduct.
On your agenda, there is a link to where it can be found on the Clark County website. So if you're wondering where it is, you'll have that.
Are there places in the county where you can do the remote controlled boats? Because I know, like Vancouver Lake, I see people doing it, but is it actually posted to do it there?
No, it's not actually posted to do it there. So the one thing about most of these codes is that it is allowable if we provide the permission, which means we kind of can have some control over it. And so, so as you can say, this, don't do this unless you have permission first. And so that's usually the...
this is except in areas specifically designated by the Parks Division and posted at first sight.
So they need more with. Yeah.
The only place that I can think that's posted for that is the fairgrounds, which they have a remote control airplanes or aircraft that fly out there. But we have permitted an event out over Vancouver Lake for airplanes, yep. Model airplanes to fly in racing, I believe is what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it was kind of off season. They promised not to harass the wildlife, and there's nobody sunbathing, and so it wasn't bothering anybody. It was on a cool spring day. So, in fact, didn't that get canceled, Eric? Did that?
Hey, we're going to host a series of events.
Just one, and then that was it. Okay. So, we do allow it, but you know, we always like to know about it. So that's the thing. So,
Bill, I'm not a lawyer, but I know in my experience with we get dated Title 36, the Federal Rules and Regulations for the Corps. Whenever we made any word change at all, it had to go through strict legal, and even had to be yeah. posted in the Federal Register for us.
And that may be the case here too.
Yeah, I would say the people who are model aircraft operators, mm-hmm. they would jump your you know what if they weren't advised of this change.
Right.
So they would have not yeah. a voice. So I'm like I said, I'm not a lawyer. It's just certainly your business, but just
right.
from my past experience. What was the thing? What were you going to do about smoking? No smoking at all?
Well,
no smoking of any material?
It says where you can smoke or where you can't smoke in a park.
Do you talk about marijuana here?
It just says tobacco. Ooh, you might want to change that now, too.
Yeah, add marijuana in there, too.
Huh? Yeah, like alcohol provision.
Yeah, well, yeah. Smoking is smoking.
Because it's interesting. It says, or public beaches. Yeah, like Frenchman's Bar, every time I go down there in the summer, there's like 7 people smoking next to me.
Yeah.
But, so I guess they couldn't technically smoke on the sand then? Is that what that's saying?
So the way it is right now, and smoking marijuana in parks is actually at a state level. It's worth having it here if we're going to make the changes. So around playgrounds, in front of restrooms, in front of shelters, is the areas that we, the county, don't allow.
Yeah.
Out in open spaces, they can. So they may be able to do it on beaches. It's kind of, you know, just don't be around a lot of people.
It says unlawful public events at parks or public events at public beaches.
Yeah. So technically,
public events, though.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So the city of Vancouver does not allow smoking in parks. Period.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's what I was curious.
We're a little
about.
More relaxed on our rules, and so I mean that would be the next step of evolution is to say no smoking.
Well, part of it just too is as a mom who they don't do it anymore, but when they were like 18 months old, would toggle around and pick up cigarette butts and hand them to you. You'd be like, you know, or start putting them into their mouth. Oh, the things my kids put in. Like that. That's one of the bigger issues for me. A, I don't like really breathing it, but B, how many times my kids put a cigarette butt in their mouth? It was at least 4 for each, like through their small childhood. So, and at a park every time. So, I don't know. I'd be interested in talking about it more.
Mm-hmm. Well, state law prohibits the consumption of marijuana in public places.
Yes.
That's how it reads. It's only in your house.
And public means where others can see you. So it's, I don't even know if you'd have to say that.
I think for the marijuana part, it's worth saying because state law changes.
Yeah.
If you're going through it anyway, and you, and that's how the county feels, I think it's worth. But that would definitely need to go to the county commission before.
Where's the alcohol prohibition?
It's 170.
170. Yes.
Do we allow alcohol with a permit for weddings at the shelters?
But by permit, yes, we do. They have to get a state permit, and then they have to get a permit through Eric.
A state and through Eric?
Yes. Both.
Okay. How much are the costs on the state ones?
Not very much.
State requires any kind of distribution of alcohol in public, basically in a public location, requires a permit.
Okay.
So the public can actually consume alcohol, but if you want to sell it, it has to go through a nonprofit agency. Is that correct, Eric?
Yes.
So like the Parks Foundation could have a big slam out there in one of our parks.
Big dagger. Usually enforced.
And knowing Diana, they probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my question.
It's like all the rules.
It's there, so if it's a problem, you can use the section to control the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I go to Frenchman's Bar, and I'm breaking this one.
Yeah.
Everyone breaks it at Frenchman's Bar. Frenchman's Bar, I don't even know how.
I don't think you're allowed to without alcohol, right?
More people don't die at that park in the summer. Just all the activities.
Frenchman's Bar.
so many illegal activities.
All right, so what's our next step with this bill?
Let's take a look. What we can do is go down through. If you see something that you'd like to mention, like Kelsey mentioned, let's just outlaw smoking, period.
Yeah, well, as a method of attacking it, I think it's worth going through every section, like you say, just to hit it. I think what I would recommend doing is we can take the basic adjustment here, hand it over and say, here's our
recommendation.
Our recommendation. But then if we've got other stuff that's more technical, maybe we hand it over as a separate, you know, these we think they can just be passed by without comment. These will need review.
Okay.
That way we can at least get this stuff through and not have it delayed.
Makes sense. And I don't think we have a real binding timeline to get this done, but that's something that we've been talking about too. So
this is
accomplished.
So shall we say to come with ideas of things we want to get into the nitty gritty of next meeting?
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Do that too.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kelsey, what did you say?
I was just going to say that if people find something they want to bring up or discuss more, to have it kind of make a note on it so we can bring it up at the next meeting and kind of break down into more depth.
And bring your issue with you, whatever your state, whatever that issue is.
Correct. And maybe do a little background on like the smoking thing. I'd be curious to know, like, does Portland Public Parks allow smoking? Does Seattle? Like, just have some other idea of other jurisdictions.
It was interesting. You said that the city of Vancouver just says no smoking.
That's correct.
Are we behind on this potentially?
How well does that work for them, though?
I don't know. I haven't heard, if people are actually following that closely. Do you know anything, Jeremy, about that?
The rule doesn't work.
There's no smoking?
Yeah. Is it being followed for the most part?
Followed as in enforced?
Yeah.
Depends on the
park
officer.
Well, I think it's part of it is the event, too, because I know I went to Esther Short Park. They had the Brew Fest kind of thing and everything. Now, there was a group of people that walked off kind of off into the corner, and they were, having a smoke, but...
I think the reason we haven't banned it so far is because we've got bigger parks. We've got regional parks where people can actually truly be like in their own area and not have to worry about being too close to a shelter or a restroom or a playground or a beach, where people are heavily congregated.
My beef is a lot much like Kelsey is that, the residual butts and stuff they leave around is something that...
Yeah, we actually... Karen Llewellyn actually leads a group. They meet here and then they actually go out and they collect cigarette butts and then they actually weigh them. It's like pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Tens of pounds.
Anyway,
cigarette butts, they are littered because they do literally take about 10 plus years to break down in the environment once they get flicked to the ground. So it's not like they break down. So that's not even an argument.
there's one I would, I'm not sure where I would land on outright ban. I agree with the idea. I'm just not sure where I land on whether it's worth doing. But if you wanted to make it $1,000 fine for littering, I'd be all over that.
Yeah. I mean, that's already on our signs.
Is it actually that big?
Yeah, it says no littering, and it's $1,000 fine.
So we just need to find more people.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, to take it home and read it?
Yeah, I suggest everybody take it home, let's read it, send it back, and then we'll... item for next meeting. And
sure, that would be wonderful.
Questions.
The weapon is kind of an interesting one, too.
I just was reading that one, Bill, and I was like, a slingshot, a javelin, spears, what sort of things are people bringing? I think we got them covered.
So we do allow open carry in our parks. We just don't allow discharge of weapons. So
archery, that's the other thing.
That's a whole story.
It says bow and arrow. You can't bring in.
It says except if
it's permitted. And like today, for instance, and tomorrow, down at the fishing derby, they have an archery range. And so that's discharging a firearm. But it's allowed because we permitted it. So
you say
did we not, Eric? Did we permit that?
Okay, we permit a couple of those. Boy Scouts do one at Louisville.
Okay.
There's this event.
190.
Right.
You say you do support open carry or not?
We do. Open carry is legal.
Except in designated target range areas or when authorized by a park and facility use permit, it is unlawful to carry, exhibit, or display within or upon the park properties of the county any weapon.
Well, we've allowed open carry.
We must have updated this somewhat recently if we have segues in here.
Yeah.
I know that the signs used to say no firearms, and then they changed it to no discharge.
No firearms discharge, yeah.
I noticed that when it happened.
There was a big powwow a big ruckus that happened with regarding open carry, and the result was that open carry was allowed on public lands. And so
I'm curious if that's...
Yeah, we've got,
well, you have the definition of weapons in here.
It's a firearm that you're subject to regulation by state and are allowed. Mm-hmm.
So that's guns.
So that's where it
is. Yeah,
it's
a fine line, man.
The guns is a hot button issue, but let's take away the cigarettes, guys.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Do we put anything in here on vaping?
On what?
Vaping.
No, but I think that would be under the same category as smoking, right?
Well, can't you vape like cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
I'm such a naive person about that.
I suppose it's just like the difference between aircraft and airplanes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's dated.
So we should say smoking or vaping?
I think you have to put the word in vaping.
Yeah.
Because
okay, good point.
Mackenzie's shaking his head, yes, he knows.
Industry word and all those non-smoking signs I've seen have added vaping.
Okay,
on there, so.
Vaping.
Got nothing else.
It is unlawful to use any form of tobacco.
Well, but this isn't tobacco. That's the argument of vaping. Is it?
Right.
Believe me, I'm having this argument at the house.
No, I'm just
I was at a restaurant. I was at La Pella's, and these people started vaping, like, I don't know, a year and a half ago. And it turned into this. Like, some customers were mad. They wanted them to leave. The waiter, everyone was freaking out because it wasn't on the sign that they couldn't vape.
And
we should probably put it somewhere.
Vaping is like obnoxious because it's a huge cloud.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They'll tell you it's
so much
water vapor, and that's what it is, vapor. It's not smoke, and so it dissipates.
The young people here are like, listen to these people trying to explain this right now.
Well, it's like, real quick side. Have you seen on the internet Zuckerberg trying to explain the internet to some of the older senators?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is so funny. Read it or watch it. Just, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
No, I watched it three times last night. Just laughing every time.
It was pretty good.
It's just crazy. Yeah. But anyway, I can't believe you guys are keeping there with a straight face.
Yeah, they're sitting there. Yeah, that's
how
it's done.
That's great.
All right. Field trips.
Okay, so we need to figure out when, and we already know where. So we got multiple locations to go to. That's the New Conservation Futures project that we all worked on collectively. And so, what's a good day, good time to do it? I think we're going to need about 4 to 5 hours, realistically. We're going to go from we got Richfield all the way out to Washougal. So,
we could do one. We could split them.
Yeah, I think we
could. We could do two, a couple trips. Yeah, we could do that.
Seth, it would be that time.
I would say definitely split it in two. And as Dave just said,
Fridays.
We all know most of us can get away at least one Friday a month.
Okay,
so.
All right. We can do that.
Last year we did it the Friday after PAB. Do you want to continue with that tradition?
Yeah.
Works for me.
That'll be the next one would be the 18th then.
So it'd be the third Friday of May, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, let's wait until we get past grant season.
Great.
Maybe the 18th, that's still grant season. But yeah, let's do, May's about the right time.
Are you okay with that? That's just before the presentation.
That's fine, yeah, we're good.
Especially if it's only like a half day one, like a 2 or 3 hour instead of like a 5 hour.
And do we want to make it at noon, our usual time, and then
like
that 12. Way we're inside the school times. Kelsey, I don't know about you, but I know Barbara has to be home by
2:30. I think
2:30 to 3.
We do like a 10 to.
I think for the from the field day trips, I think we met at 9 or 10.
9 or 10.
But yeah, whatever you feel is good.
Depends on what we're doing. So.
Yeah, right.
For the time being, I'll just block off the middle of the day.
So what is that third Friday for May?
May
18th.
We can celebrate Pop St. Thomas while we're here.
Like 11 to 1 or something like that?
Yeah,
11
to 1 is good.
11 to 1 works for everybody.
I'm out that week, but that's fine.
Catch it the next week or the next month?
Yeah, so if we're splitting it in two, do we just go out another month or do we?
Yeah, we'll go. Well, basically, we've been doing field trips each and every month on the Friday after PAB all the way through the summer season until we get back into the rainy season. Okay. I think our last one was in October or was it September?
They just said, yeah.
Something like that.
No.
So we'll probably be going out, if everybody is interested, May, June, July, August, and September. So five different months on the third Friday of the month.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Send out invites?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's the only way I get away.
Good.
Yeah.
And Pat was kind enough to give us an update on where those projects were at.
Oh, good.
And so we have a copy of that in the packet, and I sent that to you electronically as well.
Okay. I don't know if there's still interested, but Renee T-Cash came up to me a week or so ago.
Good.
Saying, hey, is there anybody left over in Conservation Futures? We would like to snatch it and use it to get from the dike up and over 14 off on the east end.
Well, guess what? So it's coincidental that that's where Pat's at right now.
Yeah.
He's in Washougal on the Steigerwald discussion, and with Renee.
Yeah.
I asked him if he was going to be here today, and he says, no, I got a big thing with Steigerwald and talking about those properties and making that acquisition. So, cool. I'm glad you brought it up.
All right, so we're talking about the 18th. That's when we're going to do that.
Yeah, and I'll send out the calendar invite.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Community liaison.
Yeah, that's
I'll
me.
Let you.
So as you can kind of tell, Jay and I have discussed moving sort of away from the subcommittees a little bit. If you had an active subcommittee and you were feeling good about things you were pumping out, we want to encourage you to keep doing so. But for some people who just felt they have like a big project in their subcommittee and then it sort of died, but don't want to commit to another subcommittee. We kind of want to free your minds. So we talked about, and I don't really have a really strong description for it yet, but my idea was kind of a community liaison. So there are events like Bill gets invited to that he can't attend, that maybe we could go to with like our name tag or our logo on there representing the county and that we're interested in their projects. So some of like the smaller cities, like an opening of a neighborhood park or something, just having a presence out there, getting our faces out there a little more. I'm also kind of sad that our meetings are so not well attended by the public. And it's because we meet during work hours. So maybe trying to get ourselves out there a little more, like speaking at, like if making it even easy, if you want to contact the neighborhood association you live in and say, hey, can I come do a little plug on Clark County Parks and maybe organize like a park cleanup in your neighborhood park, that sort of thing. So just kind of doing not so much Barbara's like big outreach things at events where we're tabling, but doing more like if you're able to pop into an event or just show your face at something, just making more connections with the community, showing up at a park cleanup. There's a ton on the back, like the Whipple right. Creek Trail, the, don't we have a Frenchman's Bar? Oh yeah, same day, the Frenchman's Bar Beach cleanup. Just kind of making our faces shown a little more, getting out there and looking like we're, you know, getting nitty gritty in the parks too. I know we already do a lot, so this would be sort of like, hey, you have nothing to do that weekend, your kids are driving you crazy, you want to go pick up garbage at Frenchman's Bar with them, sort of like, you know, you could wear two hats and sort of do that. So just kind of broadening our presence in the community a little more. I want to get name tags with our logo on it. Yeah, because I just think it's important that people know who we are when we're out and about, mm-hmm. or it just is kind of like if we're just a person in a raincoat with everyone else that doesn't, we're not doing, you know, what the goal of the community liaison would be. So anyways, if you can think of any other ideas where you can kind of represent the board in a more official way of things you're already at that involve like parks and trails, but just also to give people sort of a face to come up and say, oh, hey, I live next to this park, and, you know, there's all these blackberries coming in. Can you tell us how? And then we can refer them to Karen or something, just trying to make connections for people who aren't maybe able to get here but do care about their parks and that sort of thing.
Do any of the members go to the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Board meetings?
No. But that's a good idea. Okay. Like
I'm going to go. My coworker is on the board, so I was going to check it out. I've never been, so I was just curious.
I haven't either.
I think as far as trails and stuff.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely like stuff like that where it's not, I'm not thinking of like, you know, we need to have a booth at the Clark. I mean, that's kind of Barbara's territory with that sort of thing, but like smaller things where we can pop into. So perfect, Dave, example of just getting out there and connecting with people about who we are and what common goals.
I particularly love the idea of whenever you've got an event that you just can't make, if Right. Laura sends out an email to the Yeah. Tab saying who can make it instead. Right.
That would be the approach, is to send out an email and saying, hey guys, you know, this is coming up, Bill can't make it, or Bill needs help. Several times I've asked Bill if you need help or want somebody to go with you. I know Kevin, you and Kelsey, through the Lewis Clark Trail meetings have shown up. I think it shows that there is a committee behind Bill. It's not just Bill, it's just not the county. But if Laura could just send out a flyer and say, hey guys, you know, and that way it's not an obligation. You can say, well, yeah, I could go to that, or I'd be interested in going to that and representing the Parks Advisory Board. So it's more, you know, just like Kelsey's saying, it's an ambassador type scenario that, you know, but we don't want it. You know, Kelsey and I talked about this quite a bit. We don't want this to be a burden. We all have a passion for this, so we don't want to feel like you have to schedule yourself and we're going to say you have to go to two events a year, da-da-da-da-da, because we all do enough on our own, I mean, you know, to spread the word, if you will, and that's what we're trying to do, quite honestly, is try to get people to know that we are here. I mean, when you go to the All-PAV, I'm always interested to, you know, that people say, oh, is there a Clark County public? You know, well, of course there is. You know, it's. Well, I just thought it was our group and that group, and so you know, it's an interesting conversation. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, that's just.
And it seems like we're all sort of out and about anyways at like events and open in, so to wear our name tag there, and I don't know, just kind of if you're already there, just all you know. Anyways, and also for Karen, too, any overbleed that Karen has of events that, you know, I mean, I don't even mind, like, showing up at park cleanups and just, like, pulling Ivy next to people and being like, so, you like parks? What's your problem with your, you know, what do you want to see in your parks, or what do you like about your parks, or what do you don't? Because I wish we had a little more community engagement in the fact of people sharing. People share their concerns with us a lot, but I also want to hear like what people like about their parks too. So people really only come here to tell us when they're mad about mm-hmm. something.
Right.
So I also want to get out there and hear what people like about it and what we can do in other parks. Like, because every time I go to a park with a nature play area, that's all people talk about is the nature play area of a park. And so I think we need to hear that and bring that back to you, and you can bring that back to the planners, and just kind of keep, you mm-hmm. know, keep the community engagement sort of going. So that's my idea. And again, it's no obligation for amount of events. So.
It's a great idea. It's awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
John, you want to chat about dog paws?
So I have a long-standing relationship with more Mark
Watson
than dog paw itself. Because I got involved with trying to locate a dog park in Kamiswashugal and failed miserably.
It's still out there. It still may happen. So Mark's been Dogpaw has a problem, and that problem is not just overcrowding, but they're seeing more and more violence among dogs at the dog park, and they're worried about the day they get sued because, you know, Rex ate Fluffy or whatever. And one of their thoughts is actually a combined thing, is they want to put card access entry to their parks, and they want to restrict it to only pet owners who have registered their pet. And it's all about getting control of this population that's just too many people not taking proper care of their animals, and it's causing a mess. And from the county side, I haven't had a chance to chat with you, but Dogpaw needs the county's permission to do something like that.
Right.
And so I put a request on the last minute to say, hey, let's have a discussion about this. It was too late to get it onto this agenda properly, and Mark wasn't actually available after all. So next month, I think it might be good to have a bigger discussion, but if we've got a minute, just to, I think the big thing I need to hear is where's the county stand on that?
So I had a meeting with Mark Watson, Paul Scarpelli, who leads Animal Control, and Amanda Magelbrink, our attorney, was in the room, and myself, and so they pitched the idea. Paul Scarpelli's kind of online with us. He likes the idea as well because he wants to get compliance. I think our compliance is like less than 17% of people have their dogs and cats licensed.
So when you say registration, you mean license?
License.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, I don't remember what it costs. Not much, but there's a woefully large amount of people that do not have their animals licensed. And so, from Paul's perspective, he would like to see everybody get licensed. Does one thing, it brings in more revenues, and so it gives him a better idea of the animals that are in Clark County. With Mark Watson, he's been complaining about lawlessness inside of our off-leash areas for quite some time. And so they're trying to manage to the best of their ability and having a very difficult time because all too often they just get told off if they're trying to enforce some of the off-leash rules. And so, I feel for them. So the way to make course corrections is to have animal control folks out there, but our animal control folks, there's so few of them that they really don't have the time to go out there and enforce rules in our parks. And so the idea between Paul Scarpelli and Mark Watson was to, let's kind of restrict access to, one, those folks who are licensed, and Dogpaw would actually issue out these card keys that for a magnetic lock to get them into the off-leash areas, and two, it'll help them to provide a higher level of rules and authority as to who they let in and don't let into the site. I've got some pretty solid reservations against restricting access into a public park, because that's what it is. Where this got some traction was with the city of Vancouver. Their, so to speak, off-leash area is at the Ross Complex, which is actually federal property, so it's not even city property. Ross is willing to try this out. And so my suggestion back to them was, let's start at Ross and see how it works out. And also, let's look around nationally and see who else is doing this restricted access, because I think that people are going to come and lynch us if we try to restrict access into off-leash areas. Because, I mean, these parks are for the most part free, but to, and so of the piece I'm leaving out here is Dogpaw was also hoping that they could charge a small amount for that key access card to help support Dogpaw, to help manage their properties, those properties. And so I don't think we can do that because people are having to pay a nonprofit to manage, you know, a county site. And so, I pretty much told Amanda, I said, boy, unless we have some really strong models out there that are showing that they're very successful and that the people enjoy it, I don't see us going there. I really don't. So that's my take on it. Mark, I know he's really, really frustrated, and he said, hey, what happens if dog pile goes away? And the answer is we either keep running them using county forces, or we just lift the fences and they become leash only, you know, just like the rest of the parks. Mm. So,
go ahead. What kind of community outreach has been done about just the problem of licenses? Because peer pressure is a powerful thing in the dog park. It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know how people would know. I mean, your dog's got a tag, but yeah. But peer pressure is strong out there.
I agree. And I don't know what outreach efforts have been made so far.
I take my dog to several of them. He doesn't like to go to them. He'd rather go someplace else where we can run and nuts and other dogs. So, but there's signs up that everyone's saying, you know, you have to have a license.
There's a lot of rules. I mean, your dog has to be
spayed or neutered,
over 1 year old.
Yeah,
can't be a puppy.
And it's vaccinations.
Big dog area, small dog area, that kind of thing. There's some rules. And
it seems to me like it's more of an enforcement issue than it is.
It is. And the problem is we.
The county doesn't have.
We, the county staff, maintenance staff, even myself, I can't issue citations. So it has to be the.
Wait. Just thinking along those lines, you know, drunk driving is a problem.
Right.
And rarely do they have an officer that's full-time drunk driving. They put up stings or set up situations where they can catch people and the word gets out. You know, same thing with, well, I had another thought there, but I lost it. But maybe there's a way, with limited resources, they can set drop-ins. Or Tuesday afternoon when sun and everybody and their brothers out there locked in. The amateur hour type of thing. Because to me, it seems like it's more of an enforcement issue.
Well, it's kind
of... than it is a funding issue.
You could take the approach that the Max does, you know.
Yeah.
Just periodic stings, if you will, or periodic research. But Camas and Washoe, well, they share resources. I know because we take our dog up to some of the parks, and you know my wife lets our dog off the leash every once in a while, just the right time when the guy comes around the corner. Anyway, it's just one of those things. You're not supposed to do that. No, man. But anyway, it is an enforcement issue, and I agree, because I was thinking about this, and you know, if you license the dog, whether you get a key card or not, you can still, I still think you gotta enforce the licensing the dog or the animal. And then, you know, from there, because if somebody does, and there is gonna be an issue, I've seen them enough that they have barking events and, you know, they get after each other, the dogs do and everything else, and one of them will get hurt. And then I've wondered what's gonna happen with dog paw or who's, you know, running that. But when I thought it would go back down to the county.
It is,
dog
basically.
Dog doesn't own.
No, they don't own it, no. But they do have liability coverage, you know, to operate.
They do have liability.
Yeah, I mean, they name us in their liability for $1 million per event, that kind of thing. The one other thing that Paul mentioned to me, the manager of animal control, is that, yes, if you did charge, it didn't necessarily have to go to dog paw, but we could use that funding to go to hire more enforcement officers. County enforcement officers that could be assigned to parks, which would then give us the authority that we need to control, you know, off-leash events and off-leash areas, as well as the rest of the parks that don't have them. And so, like Stammon Creek Greenway Trail, for instance, you know, people are constantly running their dogs off-leash, even though it's not an off-leash area. And so, there is some merit in thinking about that. But boy, you know, then it's pay to play. And that kind of scares me.
Yeah. So here's a thought, though. I definitely hear the idea of pay to play, but also part of the idea is you've got a lot of scuff laws, effectively. What if when you register, license your dog, I should get that right, part of the license fee is a key card access?
Yeah, that's part of the deal. I don't see it working.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I kind of disagree with Kevin in a sense that it's more enforcement and not financial. I mean, we were on the grant committee where Mark was begging for money because their trails are muddy. And they have a lot of maintenance and repairs to do, and no one is giving money to this organization to do the upkeep for these dogs.
And they're not getting any piece of anybody else's money.
Saving all of us a lot of money. So they're going to go away.
We've got to help them somehow because it's, and I hate, I mean, we make people pay to get into a regional park, I don't, I mean...
So we charge parking fees, but we don't charge use fees.
But I just feel like they're going to throw up their hands eventually and say, this is not working.
Is licensing a one-time fee?
Every year.
It's every year. My husband tells me, just say the cats died this year. They never go outside. I pay every year. Yeah. And it's not expensive. If they're spayed or neutered, it's what, $10 for a cat and $20 for a dog or something? I mean, but I feel
like the idea of adding a couple of dollars to it. Mm-hmm. For enforcement, I think people would pay that
for off-leash maintenance.
Yeah, for for
actually,
I quit using the off-leash facilities here because
they're too crazy.
It's just chaos.
Well,
it's
not
worth it.
Yeah,
and my dog is the one that's going to hurt someone else's dog when they don't be control their dog. So
yeah, and that's another thing is our off-leash areas are pretty overcrowded because we don't have enough of them.
Right,
and that's. That's a problem in itself.
But, Bill, can you see, if dog paw goes away, the county can't absorb all the costs of running and maintaining the dog park.
I think you bring in the Portland model where there's indoor pay-to-play dog facilities. And, we go down to Portland and for Saturday, and that's what he does.
You go indoors, huh?
Yeah, it's indoor. It's amazing. And they regulate it so people's dogs behave.
I just feel like they're in a pressure cooker, and they just seem... they're getting hit on all ends. The aggressive dogs, not enough money for maintenance. They're just, what's the impetus of keeping
going? And Mark, he says it's most of the time it's not the dog's problem. It's just the people going there to socialize, and they have their back to their dogs. Yeah. They don't know what the dog's doing.
Right.
They're just there in a circle just talking, and they're not watching.
People.
There's a lot of enforcement to be done. I'm okay with it as long as we have a compelling, case here, and that we can actually make something happen as a result. So we get better enforcement, better compliance, then it's worth pursuing.
Well, let's do this then. You've got Mark coming in next month, right?
Hopefully.
He's scheduled in for next month. Let's think about this and put some thoughts together.
Mm-hmm.
And run some things maybe by Mark, and then we can come up with a recommendation from PAB to go do that. Because, we can debate this for a while today and not come up with any resolution necessarily. But I'd like to, next time we talk about this, come up with a recommendation or how we want to move forward.
We have to, basically, another thing to consider is how are we going to manage those key cards? That's another resolution.
I don't think the key card is I don't think another object to manage is the answer. That's just my personal opinion.
I agree.
I think the key card would just be sledgehammer.
Prop
the gates open, the gates.
I don't think that's gating or key. Issue is solved.
Do we have the resources?
More vandalism cops.
What's that?
Do we have the resources to have animal control? I know they're have no one.
It only takes an occasional visit.
That's it.
Or even just to sit there and do a licensing booth.
Yeah.
When people are walking in, hey, is your dog licensed with the county? Oh, it's not. Here's the form.
What happens to that?
Well, then.
And you have a conflict. I've seen it happen with volunteers at Dog Paw when Dog Paw first started. People walking around, pick up your dog poop. Is your dog licensed?
Then I can't see why Dog Paw would just be like, fine, we're done.
And they are on the edge of going.
They are.
And then everyone's going to come and complain to the county that there's no dog parks.
Well, we're going to end up with rundown facilities that are already there.
Yeah, and have to put a bunch of money into
the expectation.
It's just going to spread out to the other areas, the other parks, everywhere else.
Yeah, it's going to absolutely.
Yeah, schools, Yeah.
People use the school district property next to Sorensen as an off-leash dog park.
If you could, when we meet next month, if we could know what is what's the dog catcher division's resources?
Could they come too?
We can see Paul Scarcarelli can come with us.
Yeah.
The dog catcher can write citations.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They can write citations. They can take you to jail.
Deputize dog paw employees to write citations? It's like citizen arrest.
Well, that's what we talked to Paul about.
Maybe what happens.
Yeah.
If we can get some commissioned officers who can actually write citations, that would be cool. But I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is to that. That'd be a good question for Paul.
We just ask questions. If somebody could come, maybe either that or send us, to let us know what the resources are. at this time.
Yeah.
Then we can see if we can help.
Yeah, we'll see if Paul can speak a little bit too, maybe.
Yeah, that's fine.
That'd be good.
Because it benefits animal control too, if Dog Paw can get more people licensed, because that's more money for animal control. So really, I mean, this is a...
Right. And Dog Paw is also supported by the Humane Society as well. Yeah. So they could... They actually had a representative there at that one meeting I was at. So, maybe we can get the Humane Society here as well.
Yeah,
just find out.
Basically, another big panel.
I think getting everybody together again and sitting down and going through this, we can figure something out.
I'd be curious to know what their budgets are and what it costs to add another person, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even if that person's part time.
Right.
I mean, you know, that, like I said, Camas Moshu share resources. But they're actually officers. They can turn around and give you citations. They can do a lot of things.
Right. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think our animal control can actually go out and cite in these different cities that they have a contract with or agreement.
And they might, and that'd be fine. But yeah. I mean, let's find out what we got and see if we can
two sources of law enforcement. But yeah, we can ask Paul to join us.
I just had this sudden image of taking it up a notch, and when somebody doesn't comply, you just euthanize it all right there.
Far down, too far.
I'm not sure I'd euthanize. I mean, knock the dog out. Well, euthanize the owner, maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be even better. I mean, it's not the dog's fault 9 times out of 10.
That would solve so many of society's problems.
Yeah, I think they call that the Old West, but I'm not sure. All right, Texas moving out. Oops. All right, so the manager's report.
Okay, so let me pass these around and we'll get the scrutiny on them here.
How are you holding up? You all
right? I have a doctor's appointment at 3:50.
You said you were stoked up on Sudafed. So
I actually just did ibuprofen because if I did Sudafed, I would have broken the easel for sure.
Okay, I think I may have covered this already, but we received $1.12 million grant from the legislature for Harmony Sports parking lot repairs to be paid on a reimbursement basis. So this Tuesday, had a staff report that went in front of the council to approve $600,000, front money, if you will, to start the capital funding, project planning and permitting. And we hope that we'll have this thing shovel ready by early spring. I was talking to Sean Jensen and Charlie Clyer, and they would like to see if we can get this thing shovel ready by winter, but that's pretty optimistic. So we got to go through the whole planning process with the city of Vancouver, and we're going to go out and get bids on a professional services group that can help us go through that process. And so we're going to get started here right away and see if we can move forward. So that's going to be interesting. That's going to be the first time that we're actually making substantial repairs to a parking lot that is so desperately needs it. It's crazy.
Is that going under you're running that, or is a Harmony group running that project?
Both. It's going to be a joint effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what's that?
Well, the county is the administrator.
The money's funding through the county, so gotcha. we have to control the funding. Oh. But as far as going out and selecting the professional services contractor, we can do that jointly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So instead of doing an RFP, we're just going to go out and pick three off the RFP roster. Or what roster is that?
Master.
The small works.
Small works roster. There you go. What's that?
For $600,000, you can do that. That's just
$600,000.
I thought the limit was $200,000.
No. Huh? Well, you know that the $600,000 is not the
fees.
It's the city fees for permitting and all that stuff.
It's
probably going to be about $200,000. Also engaging in planning discussions with AKS Engineering and the developer in Section 30 development next to Harmony Sports Association, and that's a strong focus is the Lake to Lake Regional Trail that runs along the northern border, spelled northern wrong, northern border next to 18th Street, and so having discussions in that regard, so that'll be huge if we can make that happen, so that'll be great. So. County councilors have asked if we could pursue the use of PIF funding for trails. We talked about that, and actually we voted on that. And so we are securing a contract with Conservation Techniques, who, if you recall, they've helped us with our PROS plan, and they actually helped us with our PIF increases in the 2016 year, which is great. which were effective last year.
So wait, what are we asking them to do?
They're going to, the counselors want us to be able to utilize PIF monies
right.
for trail acquisition and development.
Right.
So not just parks.
And Technics, Conservation Technics, would have to do well with that.
They're the ones who actually do the study, because to allow PIF to be used for trails is a pretty serious amount of technical work to make that happen.
Got it.
So you guys will be very invested in this whole process. In addition to that, as a task order, another task order is to consolidate PIF districts.
Right.
That's the one thing yeah. that we have not done yet. Yeah. We've done everything else but that. And so talked to Heath this morning and says, do you want to exercise or execute task order 4? And he says, yeah, let's do it. Mm. We're going to do it. Let's do it.
Oh, okay.
So far, you know, with regard to PIFs in our history, we've done a couple things. So we've consolidated PIF funds, acquisition and development. They are now one, which is great. I love that. It gives us a lot more ability to do things. And then we've also increased PIFs. Right. And so that was a substantial jump. So as of 2019, we will be at 100% of the increase, which is 162% of what we had previously. So that's a huge jump, and that's why the monies are coming in at a great pace. And so the last frontier, if you will, is to combine districts. We currently have districts 5 through 10, and when we get done, we're going to have 3 districts,
right.
geographically based west of I-5, in between I-5 and 205, and east of 205. City of Vancouver has done that already, so if you look at their matrix, that's what it looks like. And so that was an idea that we were kicking around back in 2014, so we're going to kind of follow suit. So the city still has a couple of things that we've already done. That's consolidating PIFs and PIF funds and raising their fees, because they're still stuck back in 2003.
Right.
So thank you in advance for all your help. It's forthcoming. Okay. Berry Acquisition, Northwest 149th Street, Northwest 11th. That's our most recent purchase, and Jeremy's been working diligently on getting the house knocked down and all the utilities taken out. So that is, it's on its way to becoming a green space until we turn it into a neighborhood park. So that's in the PIF District 10 area out by the fairgrounds. So looking forward to that. Property acquisition in PIF 5. So the last time we talked, we were looking at a acquisition on the Fifth Plain area, 184th Avenue, 84th Street. That's the route to Camp Bonneville, if you will. That north northeast corner. It's a farmhouse barn on 9 acres. Uh-huh. And we met with the property owner with the help of Councilor Bolt. And so we met with the property owner, and they were willing to sell us the property. So we handed them an option agreement, and they got with their lawyer and sent it back to us with all kinds of conditions. And so ones that we really cannot even address. So there's a lot of things that we're going to have to counter on, if you will. I plan to do that this next week. And if the counter doesn't, let's say if it's not equitable, then we're probably going to have to walk away from this one. So some of these conditions are pretty steep, and they bleed into transportation issues and different things that we just don't have control over. So it's just not going to work. As much as we'd like to have the property, it's going to have to work on our side. Otherwise, it's not going to go on. So I'll let you know at our next meeting where we stand on that. We were recently awarded $600,000 through RCO ALEA grant for Lower Daybreak Regional Park. This is the grant that we applied for in 2016, and we didn't finish in the money, but for whatever reason, something happened. Something happened, and now we are in the money. So RCO called us and said, hey, you want to work on this project? And we said, yes. So this is phase one development for Lower Daybreak. And so what that's going to do is give us a trail from the boat launch downstream on the East Fork Lewis for the entire length of the property, benches, tables, turnaround loop, viewpoint, landscaping, that kind of thing. It'll be pretty cool. So it'll be the first of about 5 phases. So we're going to take advantage of that funding. So here are the grants that are going forward that we actually talked about. So Curtain Creek Community Park Development, that's a local parks grant. And I've been working with Jane Tester Kleiner on that one from downtown. Salachie, the 2-mile trail between Battleground and Cedars, and that's thank you, Jay and Laura and Elsie and everybody else who's been invested in this thing. And that's all going to be due May 1st. So we have some big things to accomplish here in a short period of time. Lewis River Ranch, there's two more grants, and that's run through Pat Lee and Kevin Tyler. That's Lewis River Ranch Phase 2 acquisition. That is the piece that's due west of Lewisville Park. And we were not successful last time because our access into there was restricted. So we've made some amends, and so we're going to go after that grant again.
And what was the solution to that? The access?
Well, right now the primary access is being used as it's the ingress egress
for the trucks.
For yeah, gravel. It's being mined right
but
now.
But how do I mean, that failed last time because of that? Are we saying different?
Making some alterations so that it allows public access along with the trucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
it's not just trucks only. Yeah. Okay. So it's not just for business only. So we do have a picture of that. I'm going to pull that one up by chance.
True.
Yeah, it should be the very last attachment on that list. I'll show it to you real briefly just as a reminder or a refresher. Some interesting developments there too. So here's the gravel bit. We've owned this already, this piece like where this greenway trail is at. This is the piece that we're acquiring right now. We're going after with the current grant, and this will be a phase three acquisition, which is the gravel pit itself. And so we're going to turn this into a huge BMX race course.
Cool.
I mean, spend the night, a whole bit. It's going to be a big campground over here, and then phase four will be this up here. So disc golf down here, skills area. That's for biking. This is the green line is the regional trail that passes all the way through. The one thing that was interesting, we had a meeting with property owners who own the property right now, Lewis River Ranch folks, and Conservation Futures folks. Since they're mining this right now, we don't seal the entrance, but you've got the Lewisville Highway, you've got Lewisville Park. Lewisville Park, when you drive into Lewisville Park, you actually drop down. And so you're well below the grade of the highway. And so this is actually at or above grade. So the one thing that they decided to do is to mine this so it's at the same elevation as Lewisville.
Oh.
So we can put an underpass under the highway. So once you get into the park, you can turn in, go to the pay station, and you can go either to Lewisville or you can go circle around and go under the highway and come into this park. And then when you leave, you can come and turn right.
Nice.
So you don't have to go up under the highway. So you actually have one fee will get you into both parks. It's kind of cool.
When you said BMX, like mountain bike course?
Mountain biking, BMX, pump tracks. This is a pump track. Pump track right here, or the pump track. So it's going to be basically every type of biking you can
imagine. Very needed in this area.
You can have dual courses, triple courses, so challenge courses, all that stuff. So that's what we're going after. So the acquisition of that second phase. So then we can really start good stuff.
That much stuff going in. Is there any concern regarding upkeep for all that?
Yeah. Maintenance. So I told Pat, I said, hey, unless we have some kind of money to maintain this, it's going to be really difficult to try to get this passed or through our counselors. The one thing he can do in the interim time until we can figure that out is he can use Conservation Futures funds because we went from 15% to 25% for maintenance of our sites. So he can afford this to a certain degree.
Oh, okay.
So once we start getting super developed, we're gonna need some else.
I would think you could draw some good events too because this kind of thing is big.
Our model needs to be somewhat self-sustaining as far as revenues coming in.
Right.
So yeah, we will be charging for these big events.
So
we're having similar discussions around the community center / pool. There's a lot of desire to have an Olympic-sized pool, which is hugely expensive. But the argument is you can also start bringing in national-level groups and charge.
Right. So okay. Thanks for going with that. Long story.
It's awesome.
Fishing Derby today. So that's really cool. We got the special needs kids are there today. It's about 700. And then tomorrow should be how many? 2,400?
Well, they estimate 3,000 kids and anywhere between 70,000 patrons.
Wow. It's a monster
event. It's got to be such a huge
event. If you ever get the chance, that would be a great picture opportunity to go in there. I mean, it is tent city. When you get down in there, there's awnings everywhere across the turf, and there's just so much going on. And you've never seen so many fishing poles in one spot in your whole life. I mean, they pass out fishing poles to every kid. They're free. And there's just thousands of fishing poles standing straight up in these racks. And then they got a bunch of bicycles. They plant brooders in there. So if you catch a big brooder, the biggest fish gets an award, trophy, bicycle, that kind of stuff. And, cool. It's really cool for the kids. So they when they clean the fish, they dump the guts into the creek, which also feeds the smolt. So it's pretty kind of a win-win. It's really good. That's where Malata's at today. She's got her own booth down there.
That's a huge event for them. So.
And let's see what else. So to talk about the Parks Foundation annual luncheon, Laura purchased two tables for us. And so you guys are welcome to attend. It's already paid for. So we'd love to see all of you there. So that is it for me.
All right. Okay.
I'll be sending an invitation for that as well, because they're going to want a head count to know who's there so that they have food available.
Sure.
It's also the first day of Ramadan, so no eating.
Oh. No eating?
No eating.
That would be a
Yeah, if the food intake drops down, then that'd be good. All right. So we got the manager report. Any updates? Roundtable discussion. I think we covered the grant writing and Chalachi Trail. Again, due May 1. Thank you for your comments, Kevin, on the letter. Again, anybody else got thoughts on the letter or the concept page? Again, thank you, Laura, for putting those two together. Please send them on to Laura and me, and we'll do what we can to put together. Got a meeting next Monday, or is it 2 weeks from this Monday? I can't remember.
We have a meeting.
We have another meeting coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about that, Jay, is if at all possible, not to really rush us, but if we could get it in just a few days early and let our RCO grant manager look at it.
Sure, sure.
And comment and say, hey, you're missing some critical stuff or it looks great or whatever. And then that gives us a couple more days just to refine it and get it back to them on the
first. I'm going to hit it hard this weekend since it's going to be such a wet and rainy weekend. Okay. So hopefully.
I'm going to try to buckle down and really try to get some things back out too.
A lot of it worked out. So we'll go around the table and see if anybody's got anything. Kelsey, start with you.
We held our third annual Sorensen Park Neighborhood Easter Egg Hunt this past whatever Easter was. Again, my head cold. We had about 50 people come. It's mostly just advertised to our neighborhood, so people bring candy for their kids. And I sit and watch Netflix for 3 days ahead of time and stuff, like 100,000 eggs, it feels like. Karen brought her daughter and her husband, and no one cried this year, which is a first. So wow. That felt
parents or kids?
Parents get really upset at these things. I'll just say that. And it's the first year no one was visibly upset. And also, I just want to thank Jay for all his work on the Chalachi Prairie thing. I felt this is a little out of my scope with maps, and I mean, he's just really putting in a lot of hours, so I just want to thank him for that.
Interesting stuff.
Because he's worked hard on it, so.
Well, thank you.
That's all I got. Hopefully I didn't infect anyone with my sinus infection germs today, so.
Ms. Sarah? Besides, congratulations on your acceptance.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hawaii bound? That's really cool.
That's really cool.
I never was smart enough when I was looking at college to go to like Hawaii or go someplace that, not that that was the main criteria. Should have gotten out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Kevin?
I have nothing, thanks.
Dave?
Good.
John?
Just one question. We had a discussion last month or the month before something about food trucks and
vendors. Yes.
Where did that hold?
We are currently working on the language for Eric and I are working on that. to, what do you call that, Eric? Contracts for our vendor contracts, I guess is what you call them. Trying to get that refined, and then we'll try to start initiating food vendors, activity type vendors in our parks. So we've got a couple of folks who are chomping up the bit to get them initiated. So one of them is a stand-up paddle and kayak rental out at Lackamas Park. Mm-hmm. The other one is at Vancouver Lake, same thing. And then, but we're also going to be looking at food vendors like snow cones, coffees, that kind of stuff, and vans, you know, food vans in our other parks. So that's kind of where we're going. It's part of our revenue generating model because we want them to give us a little bit of money. But the one thing I don't want to do is make any cut. I was talking to Heath about this morning. The last thing I want to do is cut our parks budget, general fund parks budget. I'd rather show a revenue model that's improved. Right. He likes the idea, but he still wants me to show some cuts, so I got to work on that. But our hope is to, you know, have a really well-controlled group of vendors that go out and actually complement our parks with their services or their foods. And so
I might call you offline on that one. So I've had a similar thought just out at the port. Mm-hmm. You know, can we get a little bit of revenue generation and do something like that?
Yeah, if you had a food truck out there in the parking lot, wouldn't that be kind of cool? Yeah. Or kayak rentals right there.
Yeah. I'll come back around on you.
Okay, sure.
I guess I do have something. The park that's under development north of Green Meadows, I don't know what the official name is now.
Oh, Curtin Springs, Wildlife Habitat.
What is the status of this? I see a lot of clearing and sign posts are up. When's that officially opening?
So the sign frames are in. Yeah. The barn is gone, as you can tell. Yeah. The house would normally be gone, except Councilor Bolt wants us to hang on to the house. And so so that's there. We've established a pollinator garden out in the middle of the fields. We're doing an oak savanna out there, which is a planting of Oregon white oaks. Mm-hmm. We're improving the habitat around the creek. Yep. So Curtin Creek, that's actually headwaters for Curtin Creek right there, so very critical. And that all should be done in summer of 2019. Okay. So we will be in compliance per the agreement that we had with Elizabeth Swanson,
right.
And so we'll hang on to the property. So
it's open
for public. You can walk in there.
I saw those signs. And
yeah,
I was like,
check it out.
Didn't know if you were still running machines.
No.
Okay.
No, we actually improved the parking lot quite a bit. And so the biggest problem we had with that site is that it's now inside the city. That was just recently annexed.
Right.
The city said, if you do anything to increase trips, we're going to make you do all frontage improvements, which is about a $4 million hit to us. So imagine lights and sidewalk curbing all along 78th Street. Ah, that was kind of heartbreaking. So it's going to be truly a wildlife habitat site. We are going to do some outdoor play equipment. For the kids who go there, that the little canning shelter that we held there, it's not torn down. It's still there. It's being improved, so it's going to be like a little kiddies outdoor playhouse. It's back over closer to where the barn was at.
Okay. I was going to say, it's over by the barn, right?
Yeah, barn. It's kind of a brick.
Is the barn still there, or is it?
No, it's gone. We tore it down.
So the house is staying for now.
For now. Yeah.
What's his thoughts on that?
It's a cool looking house.
Yeah, it's a cool looking house, but we don't know what to do with it. It's going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars to turn it into anything.
It's
compartmentalized inside. It's a menagerie of small rooms. Yeah. So it's not a community center. We'd have to completely gut it and re-engineer it.
Unless you were to make it somebody's office space or some kind.
Well, there again, we can't.
You can't get your trips.
We're increasing trips. Yeah. This is, if we increase one trip, we're doing furniture improvements. It's like, so we're gonna import some deer and some raccoons and stuff.
Open the windows, open the doors, let them in.
Yeah.
Throw some meat back in there and see what happens. See what comes and visits. Yeah.
If you get a chance, pull back in there, check it out. It's really cool. It's neat.
Yeah, we drove through there.
Yeah, it's really changed since the last time we've seen it.
Yeah.
Bill, are there right now, I can't remember where we're at with this, trails through Heritage Farm that connect to Hazeldale Park, or is that coming?
Coming. Plan, we're working on the master plan. That's starting up right now.
Okay.
So we're actually using Jeremy's capital repair money to afford the master plan update.
Okay.
News to Jeremy.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeremy. So that'll be forthcoming in the next coming months.
Okay.
And so with that, the original master plan already shows a loop trail around Heritage Farm, so that's going to stay. But we did Jeremy, to that property modification. The 5 acre parcel.
Reconfigured it. 5 acres up north of
Hazel
Park.
Yeah, we did a boundary line adjustment. That's over. So we moved 5 acres from above the park down to the street, so we have great parking for Hazelbell Park itself and for the farm. And then that piece that was is now back to the farm. So it did make sense to have 5 acres above what was already fenced for the park. So when we get that trail built, we're actually going to open up the fencing, and so that'll allow the entire farm to be accessed, and then we'll lock it up at night.
So we're talking a couple of years before that'd be built?
Depending on, remember the REIT monies that we're going after, the $20 million that we're talking about, that's actually one of my projects on there. So I would like to do a phase one improvement, which means that trail. There's a lot of people who really want that trail to get built. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a recreational facility, but we can put a recreational component on it. So the idea is to have a trail that goes around with interpretive signage that teaches people about agriculture.
Is there any of that traffic grants for alternative? I mean, you're talking about the only pedestrian access in that entire block between St. John's and Highway 99.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing else. That's
you're right. That's it.
So there's got to be money. It's needed.
It is. It's needed. So there is a push for that, at least to get that aspect of it done, so we can get people to cross through.
Good.
Bill, do you have anything to... I'm
good. I just want to thank you all for your commitment to being on this Parks Advisory Board. So I was very proud to see four of my members last night right there at the Alpabia. I thought, wow, this is really cool. And then, of course, we got the section meetings and, you know, all the other things that you guys have been doing. So I really, really appreciate all your time. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy days and spending it with me.
We enjoyed it. It's
exciting stuff.
Cool.
Opportunity.
Appreciate all the help.
All right. Well, I think if nobody else has anything, Laura, do you have anything?
Well, I just have a question. So
sure.
The Heritage Farm Advisory Committee meets every other month. And would you like that added to the calendar so you know that was happening? And that is one of the things I'll be talking about with that master plan.
Okay.
Trail. Yeah.
Yes, please.
I've been kind of keeping that somewhat separate because their advisory board feels a little threatened by all of you. They think they're going to be hostily taken over.
So it's a perfect place for us to show up with our
new we're here to help.
Yeah.
It's like when that IRS agent shows up.
I just want a trail there because the girls go to ballet right down the street.
Oh, shoot.
And so I've been walking when they're in class for 45 minutes, and your walk is pretty much go down 78th, which is awful on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Or like walk, there's not really any neighborhoods you can. So I was like, oh, I wonder if I could just walk around Heritage Farms for 40 minutes, but there's really nowhere to walk right now, right?
There's no light in here.
Not really. No, there's light. Not.
Yeah, so down I kind of like kept in there and just kept walking on the sidewalk, but it's just awful. The cars are going so fast. And bicycles on the sidewalk, which is my biggest pet peeve. There's a bike lane right here. This guy behind me, excuse me.
No, do you
get in the bike lane?
Yeah, when you see the news headline now, Parks Advisory Board member squares off with a bike rider.
Well, see, I don't mind when there's, you know,
no
safe
bike
place
lane,
to ride
right.
your bike in. But he was behind me, and I had my headphones in, you know.
And scared
I almost,
you.
Like, yeah. I almost jumped into traffic. I was so scared. Like,
wow.
God.
No, let's not do that.
No. So anyways, we need those trails at Heritage Farm is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So I can
work. We'll get right on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, we're adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you much, everyone. Appreciate it.